very happily for me, this is the third Sunday in a row that I get to be with you here in the cathedral for Sunday Mass. 2 weeks ago, I was with you for the 33rd Sunday in ordinary time. Last week, I was with you for the great solemnity of Christ the King. And this morning, I am happy to be with you on this, the first Sunday of our Advent. Now, I love to celebrate Mass all around the diocese. I love to be at worship with the many different parish communities that make up this local church. But I must confess that it is always a special blessing for me to celebrate Mass here at home in the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception. Even on a cloudy day, I love our stained glass windows. I love being with the students here for CCD class. I love to see the sisters in the front pew. I love the magnificent music of our cathedral choir. And I love to praise and thank God with all of you, this congregation that I have gotten to know over the last 8 years. That's the good news about being home this year for the first Sunday of Advent. But the bad news is that the appointed readings for the last 3 weeks, both on weekdays and on Sundays, have all been rather relentlessly focused on the end of the world. Most of us priests, very much including myself, find it somewhat challenging to preach over and over again to the same congregation about the end time. So my joy in being with you is a tad tempered by my responsibility to say something more about the end of the world, about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the consummation of all time and history, and about the last judgment. The word Advent indicates a coming, an appearance, a manifestation. And in fact, our church's liturgical season of Advent is much more about our preparation for the Lord's coming more fully into our hearts and coming again in glory at the end of time than it is about his birth as a child in Bethlehem. Christmas, after all, remembers and celebrates a joyous, wondrous manifestation of God's great love, but the Nativity is all about a past event. In Advent, the Church is invited to look to the future with longing and expectation for the Lord's second coming in power and endless majesty. In Advent, the Church is asked almost to stand up on tiptoes, looking to the horizon, awaiting for his return. And so, on this, the first Sunday of Advent, we are all reminded of the truth that everything in life has both a beginning and an ending. Just as this world was once created, just as each one of us was once born in time, so will this world one day pass away, and so also will everyone alive, everyone here present in this cathedral, from the youngest to the oldest, one day will certainly die. And this truth, for Christians, should not depress us, but instead the message of the Scriptures is given to us in order to set our hearts free. In our life of faith, we are not supposed to remain spiritually immature, living with all the illusions of a pretend world. We should be ready to enter always into a more mature phase of our Christianity in the hope-filled truth of the words of the gospel. So we should use this Advent to face human existence directly in the eye and not be afraid. We should, as the gospel tells us, stand up secure before the coming of the Lord. When the world as we know it will have passed away, every human being who has ever lived will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And reflecting on this absolute truth should change us and offer us enhanced freedom to live more intentionally. Facing ultimate reality clarifies what is important from what is not important. This kind of growing up shouldn't make us withdraw from life, but rather teaches us to give ourselves more fully to the task of living. Precisely because human life in this world is both precious and significant. Life is not cheap. It is valuable, and it does matter. Time is a gift from God, and God expects us to use that great gift with enormous respect. Today's Holy Gospel is filled both with challenge and with promise. Today's Gospel proclaims that reality belongs to God, not to us. We are but temporary stewards of all that we too often take for granted. It is God who created us, God who redeems us, and it is God who will judge us. We are put in this time in preparation for eternity. Life on earth lasts only an instant. Life in heaven or in hell lasts forever and ever. Advent is a season where our past, our present, and our future can all meet. Advent encourages us to welcome Jesus into our lives in our time so that he will welcome us into his life and his eternity. That is what Advent is all about. Really, that's what Christmas is all about. Not just tinsel and twinkling lights and remorseless materialism, but rather about radical change and more deliberate living. Just as the children of Israel once hoped for the coming of the Messiah to save them from slavery and restore them to a promised land, so today, Holy Church, the new Israel of God, hopes for the second coming of Christ to deliver us from sin and death forever and ever. The Scriptures promise, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." That's the meaning of our beautiful cathedral. This is an outward sign of an inward confidence in an eternal world that we know but is not yet fully revealed. Being a Catholic Christian must always be a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day job that no one can faithfully accomplish without the nourishment that is offered in this holy place through God's Word and God's sacraments. Advent Mass should help us to rearrange our priorities, to put God and our families and our church ahead of foolish distractions or selfish appetites. Advent Mass should be a powerful reality check about mortality and time and life and death and good and evil, about salvation or damnation. Advent Mass always invites Christian metanoia, that ancient Greek word that means conversion, a complete change of heart and mind. Now I know for you and me that these coming 4 weeks before Christmas, these days of Advent, can simply become crazy. But it would be a terrible mistake for any of us to miss the opportunities that this holy season affords for growing in our relationship with Christ and deepening our faith. Advent is a special time to read and savor the Scriptures, especially those beautiful prophecies of Isaiah, whose perfect fulfillment we can see in the Gospels. Advent is a good time for spending a little bit more time in quiet prayer, in the Lord's presence, in His company. Advent is certainly an excellent time to be more patient, giving, and forgiving, even in traffic with one another. Advent and the Christmas season are the right time to allow our Christianity to shine out for all the world to see. Advent is for sure a grace time to come to confession, to accept God's gift of mercy and forgiveness. Advent is a wonderful time to take a half hour away from the daily grind and come to daily Mass. The Lord who was born in Bethlehem, that same Lord wants to be born more completely in our lives. That glorious Lord will certainly come again in majesty at the end of time. That triumphant Lord is truly present in our time, in the Eucharist as our food and drink, in the reserved sacrament, in the tabernacles of every Catholic Church throughout the world. So, let us use this Advent well in our daily communion with Jesus Christ here on earth, so that one day we will share with Him the indescribable bliss of the paradise for which we were created. May we all discover a good and blessed Advent, so that the real joy and peace of Christmas may become an introduction, a prelude to the joy and peace of paradise.